Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Tired of losing weight only to gain it all back? The weight loss experts at SlimRank.com have done the research. SlimRank.com ranks the safest, most effective GLP-1 programs that get and keep the weight off for good. Stop watching the scale go up and down. Go to SlimRank.com and pick America's number one weight loss program today. SlimRank.com. That's SlimRank.com. Your dream body is just a few months away. SlimRank.com.
My name is Andy, and this is the most magical podcast on earth. When I'm not on holiday at Walt Disney World, I'm planning a holiday to Disney. And when I'm not planning a holiday to Disney, I'm talking about Disney with other UK fans like me who like to make the trip to Orlando and the House of the Mouse. So if you too are mad about Mickey, then this is the podcast for you. Or maybe you're the Disney novice just thinking about or currently planning your first trip to Walt Disney World and you thought there was a ride called the Nine Dwarves Mine Train, then this really is the podcast for you. Every week I'll be chatting to other Disney superfans from around the UK to share their memories of magical times. And this week, Disney Dad Jim gives us a top tip on how to make the queues feel or look a little bit shorter.
We played that in queues all the time and it just made them sail by. So in the hour queue, it felt like we'd been in there about 20, 30 minutes.
I'm also going to be answering your Walt Disney World questions, getting the latest news from the parks, and there's a lot of exciting news to go through this week. Also, if you're heading over to Orlando over the next few weeks, then I've got some essential information, everything you need to know for the perfect vacation. So make sure you keep in touch. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, we are at PodMagical. This is the most magical podcast on earth as part of the Secret Recordings Network. So if you've got any questions, you can send them over and we'll do our best to answer them. A couple of quick questions this week from Jasmine in Brighton, who is looking forward to go soon, actually. But she's not staying on site. 30 days to go. She went to book her fast passes and all the big attractions had gone. What can I do? Well, this is obviously one of the advantages of staying on site at Walt Disney World, because you get to book your three fast passes a day 60 days before you go. If you're staying off site, then like Jasmine, it's just 30 days. But do you know what? Sometimes fast passes do pop up. Same goes for dining reservations as well. Get yourself on the My Disney Experience app way before you go and just see if you can kind of like change or move around fast passes. Even if the fast passes that you want haven't come up, make sure you still got your three fast passes a day for those parks, because sometimes by the time you get to the parks, it could be a busy day. A ride you weren't bothered about, suddenly you've got that fast pass for it. But definitely check. Things like Flight of Passage and Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, Slinky Dog can just pop up the night before or the day before. Definitely for dining reservations as well. Because with the dining reservation, when you make your dining reservation, if you don't cancel within 24 hours, if you wanted to cancel it, you get charged. So a lot of people tend to cancel the day before. You'll get a lot of dining reservations, those really hard dining reservations. If you want to eat at Be Our Guest, or if you want to eat in the castle with the princesses, they are really hard to get. But like 24 hours, 48 hours before, just keep checking. If your times are flexible as well, you'll easily get a dining reservation. And just keep checking for those fast passes. When you're in the park, when you're in the queues, check, 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 refresh. Sometimes, if you're looking for a time rather than a time of day, so say, rather than searching for a morning for the fast pass, if you say put in 11 a.m., it tends to more likely find the ones around that. So just keep trying. Don't give up. I reckon you will get them, as long as you're on it. Monica sent me a message as well. Pop Magical is where we are, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I didn't realise, Andy, can you use all the transportation that goes around Walt Disney World for free, even if you're not staying at a Disney hotel? Monique, yes, you can. Those buses that go from the hotels and resorts to the parks, that go to Disney Springs, the boat that goes from Hollywood Studios over to Epcot, and of course the new cable cars that are going to be starting in a couple of weeks' time that will go from Caribbean Beach over to Epcot and Hollywood Studios. There's another little boat that takes you from Magic Kingdom over to places like Wilderness Lodge. Disney want you to go and investigate, because, you know, if you're staying off site and you come to the park and you think, oh, let's just get the free bus and let's have a look at Animal Kingdom Lodge, you might fall in love with Animal Kingdom Lodge and then you might decide to go there for your next holiday. Or maybe you've got a dining reservation at places like Sanaa at Animal Kingdom Lodge. So all the boats and everything, you can get on as much as you want. Sometimes that can be quite easy at the end of the night. If you've watched the fireworks and you can't get an Uber, if you get an Uber back, jump on the next bus that takes you to a resort and then see if you can get an Uber from the resort lobby instead. That's sometimes a little bit quicker. But yeah, all that transportation, apart from the minivans that you've got to pay for, all that transportation, anybody can use and it comes and goes. It's like being a pensioner with a bus pass. Come and go as you please. Any questions, we'll do our best to answer them on the podcast. Every week we are at PodMagical, Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. Same place to go if you'd like to be a guest on the podcast. And this week it's our Disney dad, as I'm calling him, Jim. So tell me, Jim, what is it that you love about Walt Disney World?
Just the fact that you always feel at home when you're there. Like, you walk into Main Street, you see the castle, and you instantly feel calm, even though there's thousands of people around you. And yeah, it's just the overall magic of the place. Like, every single time I've been, people can't do enough for you. Last time we went, the guy at reception at the Art of Animation couldn't have helped us anymore. He was just such a nice guy, even giving us tips as he was checking us in on, like, have you got all your dining reservations booked? Because we can help you out of all that, even though I planned my last trip ridiculously, so down.
Good.
I originally thought I went 3 times as a kid, and then I was chatting to my mum and sister the other day, and they said we went 4 times.
All right, so which one did you forget? What was so forgettable about one of the experiences?
I genuinely don't know. I think it's one of these things that subconsciously you feel a bit bad that you've been able to go to Disney so many times as a kid. I went 3 times as a kid.
So what can you remember at that first visit? How old were you?
I was 11. The first visit, it was the 25 years of Walt Disney World, I think. And so the castle was a giant cake. And I've seen online recently that a load of people thought that was horrible, but for me, that was amazing. To see this gigantic pink cake with 25 on it and everything. So yeah, that's the one thing I really remember. Like, even as an 11-year-old, seeing all the characters and stuff like that in the parades. And there was a sound booth at Hollywood Studios, even though I still call it MGM Studios.
You can tell the old school.
There was like a sound booth that did 3D sound. You like sat in a booth and you had your hair cut and all this sort of stuff. It was like ASMR before ASMR was a thing.
Was this the Drew Carey thing where you sit in darkness and put headphones on? Is that the same one?
Yeah, I remember that. So you did like the backstage of like the Drew Carey show and all that sort of stuff. And yeah, and then you sat in the booth at the end and you were like an executive on the first day of his job at Walt Disney World and all this sort of stuff.
So that was the first time. How many times have you been back since and how have your holidays changed? So obviously you went as a kid, now you're a bit older than that, obviously.
Yeah, the last 4 trips have been with my daughter. So she is now 6. So she's been quite a few times.
So how old was she when she first went?
1.5.
Wow. What was it like taking a baby, really, at that age?
Plane ride was tough. But luckily, I got her mum, her uncle, and my sister came with me as well. So we got plenty of people on the plane who could help us.
Yeah.
It was nice in a way, because like the characters and stuff, they were just like big teddy bears to her.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, the first time she met Minnie Mouse, she just, like, grabbed her nose and, like, kissed her nose and stuff, and she was, like, over the moon. But a lot of the characters, because they obviously weren't getting much back from a 1.5-year-old.
Yeah, what do you do once you had a photograph and a cuddle?
But some of them were, like, they were still real. Like, I think it was Aurora. She, as soon as we walked away, she just turned around to us and she was like, oh, my God, she's so adorable. And same with Pocahontas. Like, I know they don't really break character, but she was just kind of just chatting to us normally because my little girl just had no idea who Pocahontas was. It's changed a lot going as a kid to going as a dad.
Giving her the memories that you had, I suppose.
Try and encourage her to go on some of the stuff I used to go on. We have a picture from last year from Splash Mountain where if you want to see genuine fear on a 6-year-old's face...
this cruelty.
That picture. Yeah. But she absolutely loves it. She'd go every year if she could.
Wouldn't we all? Your favourite memory of all those visits is the one thing that sticks out.
Can I have 3?
Okay, then you can have 3.
So my dad found out when we were little that if you told people it was your birthday, you got loads of treats. Every single restaurant we went to, it was my birthday. And we went for a character breakfast at Epcot, and I was served with a full chocolate cake at about 8 o'clock in the morning with loads of frosting on it and everything. and they got everyone in the place to sing happy birthday to me. And I think that was the fifth birthday I'd had while I was there.
Okay, when was your birthday? Was it anywhere near that time?
No, we used to go in August and my birthday's March.
Oh, just completely far out.
The second one, the first time I went on Dinosaur to the Animal Kingdom, absolutely terrified me. My mum's actually found the picture from the ride. The fear on my face, it is palpable. And then last time I went in back in April this year, I'm going to go on it. It's been about 10 years. And we were just about to get on the ride and it broke down.
No, so you didn't get to go back on it?
No, and it was our last day as well.
Oh,
so,
no.
I couldn't. So it's just an excuse for me to go back now.
Yeah, when your daughter's old enough to go on it, let's see the fear in our eyes the first time.
Well, she's been on the Jurassic Park ride at Universal Studios and loves it.
It's similar though, isn't it?
That terrifies me now when I'm an adult.
Yeah, it is quite similar. So what's your number one memory?
So this year, we managed to get my daughter onto the Path of the Jedi. And I know someone on, I think, was it the second or third podcast?
Going back to episode 3, I think, Emma. Yeah, gave us tips on that.
We'd said to my daughter, do you want to do it? And she said yes. And then we had a really late night at the fireworks the night before. So the next day we just got up and were like, right, we're going to take it easy today. And I think we didn't get into the park until about 11:30. And we just said, well, we'll walk around, see if there's any spots left. And there was about 4 or 5 different slots for in the afternoon. So it was quite free. So we got her into a late afternoon slot and just seeing her walking through the park, chanting with the other Jedis, and she fought Darth Vader and did pretty well. You can tell now after all those incidents where people have really started to try and attack the characters, they really try and control their blade swings now. But yeah, seeing her as a Jedi, as a massive Star Wars fan, that is something that I would have loved to have done as a kid.
Yeah.
And seeing her do that and seeing her little face when she was training and all that sort of stuff, it was great.
We'll get some more of your memories soon, Jim. Find out your favourite attractions and good places to eat. But first up, let's check out the latest news to come from Walt Disney World. And there has been a lot. D23 Expo happens every other year. It's just a big Disney fan convention, and on Sunday they gave us a lot of new news about what's coming to the parks over the next few years, mostly what's coming to Epcot. Epcot is, well, Bob Chapek, who's the big boss, Mickey's big boss. Yeah, even Mickey's got a boss. He says it's going to be the biggest Disney park transformation ever undertaken. Epcot at the minute is two parks really in one. You've got World Showcase and you've got Future World. Future World is not going to exist. Instead, Epcot is going to be divided into four neighbourhoods. World Showcase, as it is, and then World Celebration, World Nature and World Discovery will be the four new areas when you go into Epcot. Part of that, Spaceship Earth, that's the big golf ball right at the centre of Epcot, is going to get a transformation. Going to be new scenes, new narration and a new story to that. Over at World Discovery, which is where at the minute you can find Test Track, that's also going to be the place for the new Disney Play Pavilion. So this is something for if you've got little kids. Sometimes a lot of people with little kids go, there's nothing much at Epcot. Well, the whole new Play Pavilion is being devised over there. That's where a lot of characters are going to do meet and greet. Edna Mode is getting her own little attraction in there. She's getting like a design centre. Also, there's going to be a water fight attraction with Huey, Louie and Dewey, Donald's nephews. They'll be over there. And that is also the new Guardians of the Galaxy attraction that's going to be opening 2021, which launches you into space backwards. We found that out over the weekend as well. Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind, the reverse launch into space. Also, the new space-themed restaurant is going to be over there. Going back to the centre of Epcot, when you come out of Spaceship Earth, when that's been redesigned, you will see a brand new statue to Walt. There's also a new garden that's going to be installed, inspired by Moana. A lot of people said, there's going to be a Moana attraction. It's not actually an attraction. It's just a new water garden inspired by Moana. And then a whole load of landscaping coming up. And it also looks like there's like a roof garden that looks enormous. Apparently a lot of live events will be taking place there. They said this is going to be the home for Epcot signature festivals. A stunning elevated view of the entire park. An ideal spot to witness the nighttime spectacular. Three-level structure featuring a plaza level, middle expo level, and then the park that sits in the sky on the top level. We'll get new fireworks. Well, now we do know about this. We know that Illumination is going to be ending at the end of September. That will be replaced by new temporary fireworks at Epcot Forever. And then after that, Harmonious, the brand new nighttime show, which is actually going to debut next year. So I'm guessing, I feel like that the current Epcot fireworks, the temporary ones, it's kind of going to be a bit of a goodbye to the old Epcot as we knew it. because there's going to be so much redevelopment going on, by the time they're finished, we're not going to recognise it. The big announcement for Epcot, though, Mary Poppins is getting her own attraction over at the UK Pavilion. This was so big that Dick Van Dyke himself, yes, actual Bert, came on stage at D23 with a loads of chimney sweeps dancing around. However, we don't really know much more about it. We do know at the back of the UK Pavilion, there's a lot of room around there. So that's where they're going to build Cherry Tree Lane. You'll be able to go into the Banks' house, and that is where the attraction starts. And that's all they told us. So we really don't know it. I'm so excited to find out what this Mary Poppins attraction is going to be, because there's so much they can do. There's the iconic songs and dance routines. You know, we could go fly a kite. We could go up a banister. Oh, the world of possibilities that they could take a Mary Poppins ride is just incredible. And I'm so excited to find out more. But we don't know anything. In fact, we don't even know if it's a ride. And we don't know when it's going to open. So I'm guessing the next D23 in 2 years. I think that is when we're going to find out more details about the Mary Poppins attraction. Until then, we're going to have to wait. Other things that were announced over the weekend outside of Epcot, there's going to be a brand new app that will be launching next year in time for the Walt Disney World 50th anniversary. This is called the Disney Genie. Now, this will offer custom-made itineraries. So the kind of person who panics and freaks out about booking fast passes and which reservations to get and what is where and what is when and how to do it, this will do it for you. So say I want a foodie today at Epcot, it will make reservations. If you want a princess's day at Magic Kingdom, it will get you the fast passes and it'll book you a dinner with the princesses. It will do everything for you, which sounds like a great idea, but we've got a podcast for that, right? You know what I'm saying? Also, over at Disney Springs, there's going to be a brand new Cirque du Soleil show. Now, they've had a Cirque du Soleil show for years at Disney Springs, closed last year, and they didn't really say anything else what was going to replace it. However, Cirque du Soleil have been working with Disney Animation, so this will celebrate what we know of Cirque du Soleil and the acrobats and the performances they have, but it will encompass all things from classic Disney animation. I can't wait. So much going on and so much news, and there's probably going to be more every day as we find out more bits of information about things that are happening at Epcot and stuff that's going to go for the 50th anniversary, which they didn't tell us anything about, by the way, apart from the fact that all four parks will be involved 2021 for the 50th anniversary. I think the method behind this is because they don't want to put people off going next year, because people might go, oh, there's so much happening in 2021, let's just wait. Which I think is why the Disney parks haven't really told us what's happening in 2021. They want us to go next year and then go back in 2021. We'll keep up to date with any news that breaks, don't forget, on the socials, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We are at Pod Magical. And that's also the same place to go if you fancy being a guest on the podcast. You want to share your memories, maybe your top tips of your times at Walt Disney World this week. We've got Jim. Now, I've been talking about your daughter, who was a massive Star Wars fan, and she got to do the Jedi training. But what about you? What are your favourite attractions at the parks?
I'm going to have to say the Tower of Terror, with an honourable mention for the Carousel of Progress. I fell in love with the Carousel of Progress when we went in April. We went on it 2 or 3 times. And it's just such a lovely little thing.
The Carousel of Progress was actually designed by Walt Disney. Is that why you like it?
Yeah, the music by the Sherman Brothers as well.
Yeah, who did
and
the Mary Poppins.
There's a little video playing at the start of them playing the Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow and Walt Disney comes in and all that sort of stuff. And yeah, it's just such a nice, quaint little ride. And you see where I think they updated it in the early 80s for what they thought the future was going to look like. And you see their idea of virtual reality gaming and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, the Tower of Terror is easily my favourite ride in the park.
A lot of people have said that.
It's the theming of it. I've got so much merchandise for it. I've got metal signs in my house. I've got a key ring for room 1313. I've got a do not disturb sign on for my door. Because I love that whole period of Hollywood anyway, like the early, like the 20s and stuff. But yeah, just going into it and the whole theming, and when you're watching the video and the cast member comes into the middle of the room to like jump up at the end of when the video's finished. And yeah, it's just such a good ride.
So when you go to Orlando, do you stay at Disney? Do you stay somewhere else? Have you got a favourite resort?
So when I was a kid, we stayed at the Caribbean Beach and the All-Star Resort. When I've been going as an adult, we've always stayed in Davenport. It's about a 15-minute drive from Disney. I can highly recommend the Shire at West Haven. That is a very good area to stay. And there's a Publix convenience store right nearby. Everywhere's within easy driving distance. The last time we went, we stayed at the Art of Animation.
Yeah.
And it just reminded me how great it is to stay on Disney property. Getting the Magical Express from the airport, You've got your transportation to and from the parks every single day. The food courts there are great, and the fact that you can just go to other food courts and other areas to other hotels to eat at. I'd never not stay outside Disney property now.
Did you find a price difference when you were staying off? So even though you're staying off, which is obviously a bit cheaper than staying on property, but then obviously did you hire a car and you had to park and stuff like that?
When we went back in April, we actually sat down and planned out how much it would be to stay in a villa, and then with your parking on top and what you'd likely... Because you still spend all day in the park, so you'll still end up spending money at the parks on food. There's certain restaurants we like to eat at and stuff, so you'll always still end up eating there. So you save a bit of money on breakfasts and maybe sometimes on evening meals, but it actually, the cost difference between staying on site isn't that massive.
Talking about restaurants then, so you say you've got some favourite Disney restaurants. Where are they?
We always go to the Plaza, Magic Kingdom. That's always first meal whenever we go.
Right down the bottom of Main Street.
Yeah. So my dad loves the banana splits there. And when we went back a couple of years ago, it was my dad's first trip there for probably about 12 years. He sat and ate the banana split and he was like, I've been waiting 12 years for this.
Oh, bless. That's quite emotional.
Yeah. He's not normally one for like theme parks and stuff like that, but he just seems to really enjoy Disney. So like when we came back last time, we kind of thought, yeah, that's it. Dad will probably never go back now. And he said to my mum and sister, he's like, I'd love to go back. Yeah, we love eating in the Plaza. We went to Sanaa at Animal Kingdom Lodge.
Love it there.
Had a braised beef curry, and that was some of the best food I'd tasted.
Did you have the bread service?
I was tempted. I was looking at it and going, it's quite expensive for what is in essence a lot of different non-breads.
Yes, a lot of flat bread in it.
Yeah.
Now, what time of day did you go? Did you go lunch or did you go dinner?
We went early evening. The sun was just starting to set. So the animals were starting to come back in and go to like the little viewing area on the back. So we saw some giraffes and some zebras and stuff like that.
It's quite nice.
Yeah, it was probably the perfect time to go.
So you say you're a planner. What's your strategy?
I've been the person who's done it very slapdash, and I've also been the person who's planned everything. And yeah, planning is essential.
You made your mistake.
So last time I went, I used touring plans, which I think costs $14 for a year's subscription.
Okay.
Plan out what fast passes you want well in advance. So we want to do these fast passes in these parks, and kind of your availability of fast passes kind of garners where you're going to go on what day. And then you can put all that data into touring plans, and it looks at their historical data that they've got and kind of does a perfect plan for you. So it says start here, go here, here, here. Going to go to this restaurant at lunch, so it'll say to go to this ride just before lunch, because then you can just walk straight over and get your lunch. And supposedly they have people in the parks on a daily basis, so looking at right queue times and stuff like that, and they track it's all data analytics, which I love.
So what do? Do you print it out and you walk around the parks with a clipboard?
That would be ideal. If I was traveling on my own, I'd be very much just like, yep, we're doing this. But yeah, when I take my little girl with me, you got to be planning plenty of breaks, plenty of rest stops.
Yeah.
Not queuing for too long. One tip I'd also say is download the app Heads Up, because if you're in Disney parks, it gives you free Disney quiz questions.
Ah, so this is the one that Ellen's always gone on about, where you hold the phone to your head and you have to got to guess who the character is.
Yeah, and we played that in queues all the time, and it just made them sail by. So in the hour queue, it felt like we'd been in there about 20, 30 minutes.
Anything you do outside Disney, any of the theme parks or anywhere you like to go around Orlando?
I like going to Universal, but one thing I learned, especially when I took my daughter when she was 3.5, there's not really a great deal there for really little kids. And I was kind of told by a cast member at Disney, she was saying very much, Walt built Disney for families, and so families can have fun together. Whereas Universal is predominantly driven at probably older kids and adults.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think last time we went, it was really the Barney bit and the animal show, and I think a few of the Simpsons things, and then that was it. I think if your kids are a bit older, definitely Universal, because some of the rides there are phenomenal.
So have you got a dream trip? If you were to go back, say, you know, you had all the money in the world, when would you go? Where would you stay? What would you do?
I'll be honest, I'd definitely go back around Easter. Because we went to Easter this year, and the fact they do like an Easter egg hunt at Epcot, you can meet the Easter Bunny. They really do. I'd go for a holiday season, so I'd either go around Christmas or go for Easter. And I'd definitely stay at Grand Floridian or Contemporary or the Polynesian, because I've always wanted to stay at those.
Were you there on actual Easter weekend?
Yeah.
And how were the crowds?
The first week, so I think because it always coincides with spring break, and Easter weekend itself was busy as anything. It was so hot. Like, the queue to meet the Easter Bunny was an hour and a half. It's really good because they do put loads of things on, but yeah, the parks were just, every park was rammed.
But I suppose if you've planned and you know what you're doing, you work your way around it. I suppose it's with anything.
Yeah, yeah. So we were expecting it to be a really busy day. So I think that's why we picked Epcot as well, because it's one of the parks where you can just, especially the World Showcase, you could spend hours in the World Showcase and just wandering around. So you can have quite an easy, relatively laid back day.
So any trips planned? Are you saving at the minute? Have you got an eye on a certain time? Or
I really want to go back soon, especially with Star Wars Land opening. So Galaxy's Edge looks ridiculous. So the theming looks immense, and the videos I've seen online of the lightsaber ceremonies and stuff like that. I'd love to go back soon. Like, if everything, it's just the cost of it. You just want to see what you can do. Like I say, I go every year given the opportunity.
Yeah, maybe when Star Wars is fully opened at the end of December.
Yeah, because it's Rise of the Resistance opens back end of the year, doesn't it?
Well, and that's the one everybody's excited about, so we're all holding back for that. Jim, it's been lovely talking to you.
Yeah, and you.
Have a magical day.
Have a magical day.
If you're heading over to Orlando, maybe this weekend, maybe over the next week or so, the weather is still muggy, hot and humid, 30, 31. We're getting into hurricane season as well now. The crowds are going to be super busy as well because, of course, Star Wars Galaxy's Edge is now open. That means over the next couple of weeks, it's going to be crazy busy, especially over at Hollywood Studios. If you're staying at a Disney hotel, Hollywood Studios for you is going to be open at 6 a.m. every morning. You've got 3 hours of extra magic hours. So 6 a.m. till 9 a.m. Then the regular park hours from 9 a.m. Magic Kingdom also going to be opening early as well. 8 o'clock, unless you're staying at Disney, it'll open 7 o'clock, an hour earlier for you. Same goes for Animal Kingdom. That's open at 7 a.m. for hotel guests as well. Now, here's the deal with Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. There's no fast passes. There's only one attraction at the minute, which is Smuggler's Run, the Millennium Falcon. Can't even say it. You know what I mean? Smuggler's Run, the Millennium Falcon ride. Now, you just need to queue up for that one. Other things over there, Ogre's Cantina, if you want to go for a cocktail, you need to get a reservation for that. Also, same goes if you want to build a droid or build a lightsaber, they need reservations. But for the actual ride, you just got to get up and queue. The other big ride, as we mentioned actually with Jim, our guest, is not going to be open until the beginning of December, which is the even bigger ride. As well as all that happening at Hollywood Studios, Epcot Food and Wine Festival is now open at Epcot, obviously, with loads of food to taste from around the world. I love Food and Wine Festival. Also with that, you get the Eat to the Beat concert series with different performers every night. The Plain White Tees are going to be performing this weekend, the 29th or 31st of August. And then over the next couple of weeks, I'm going to admit, there's people performing. I don't know who they are. I've never heard of them. Sawyer Brown, Mercy Me, Grace Kelly. Anyway, they're all performing live. Also as well, it's the last few weeks of Illuminations fireworks over at Epcot. Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween Party is over on at Magic Kingdom as well. So there's a lot going on if you're heading to Orlando. If you are going, by the way, and you're not on the dining plan and you want to save a little bit of money, a lot of people don't know about this, but Orlando's Magical Dining is on at the moment. This is the 14th year that they've done this. So from now, actually, it started last week, through till the end of September, till 30th of September, there's loads of restaurants in Orlando, over 100 restaurants who are offering three courses for $35. A lot of these on International Drive. There's quite a few at Disney Springs. So make sure if you go in, ask about Orlando's Magical Dining offers. You can have some great food and save yourself quite a bit of money from now till the 30th of September. Don't forget, anything else that's going on in the parks, we'll do our best to keep you updated. Pod Magical, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Andy's top tip of the week this week, mobile ordering. Right, you're getting your fast passes because you don't want to stand in a queue for rides. So why stand in a queue for food? You can pre-order your food via the My Disney Experience app, and then there's a little button to press when you're there. You can even pay for it using your dining credit. So there's a credit card linked. Just pay for it all on the app. When you get to collect it, you go to the counter and there it is waiting for you. But as well as just saving time and not queuing, there's also secret items that can only be ordered via mobile dining. So maybe even if you don't want to use mobile dining, have a look at the menus first of all. There might be something on there that you didn't know about. Go and have a look at that. Mobile ordering. That's all for this week's podcast. Once again, don't forget, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, if you could give us a 5-star review, that would be fantastic. We have some Most Magical Podcast on Earth stickers to send out every week if we read your name out on the podcast. Stand clear of the doors, have a magical day, stickers, that kind of thing. Hello to Lainey Lavmuk on Apple Podcast, who says, what a fun, useful podcast. My husband and I have just returned from 2-week trip to Walt Disney World with our 2 young daughters, and we took advice on a number of restaurants and attractions. Thankfully, you enjoyed it, and thankfully those little recommendations worked out. Keep up the good work. Thank you so much for your review, Lainey Lavmuk. If you send me a message on one of the socials, we'll get some stickers out to you. Don't forget, if you could leave us a 5-star review, that'd be great. Of course, if you are listening on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify as well, make sure you've subscribed, because we have regular podcasts coming out every Friday. And maybe next week, there'll be an extra one dropping in as well. So definitely subscribe and keep your eye open for that one. And until next time, please stand clear of the doors.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Tired of losing weight only to gain it all back? The weight loss experts at SlimRank.com have done the research. SlimRank.com ranks the safest, most effective GLP-1 programs that get and keep the weight off for good. Stop watching the scale go up and down. Go to SlimRank.com and pick America's number one weight loss program today. SlimRank.com. That's SlimRank.com. Your dream body is just a few months away. SlimRank.com.